Hello, Fightful Faithful. Welcome to the NXT edition of Sour Graps. I've held off on calling it that officially because there was always hope that we one day might be able to move past this latest chapter and be better. But I'm here with my co-host, Kate Hensler. I'm Alex Pulaski, and we're going to talk about NXT and about stuff. Listen, Kate, I brought this up to you before the show started when we were just hanging out together, waiting for the thing to start. And it's like, imagine you had a beloved family pet who's getting older, more sickly. You take him into the vet, and they want to keep him overnight for observation. And they say he's going to be fine, we think. But we're going to start him on some experimental medication and see if that brings him around. And you don't want to tell the kids that Fido is headed to a farm upstate. You don't want to do that. So you convince yourself he's going to be okay, and then the vet calls you and says you might want to come down here and take a look. And you get there and they say, well, there's been some side effects of the new medication. And you go and see your dog and he's like rainbow colored, and you're like, what happened? What happened? Why is he rainbow colored? They're like, we don't know. We're vets. We have no idea. Why is he colored like a rainbow? We don't know. And then your dog dies. And it's terrible. It's a terrible thing. And the rainbow disease.
They go and sign a 7-foot
we'll get to that very specifically. We'll get that to that very specifically, I think. But yeah, they're going in a whole new direction. Yes. So anyway, it's the NXT show. Please do subscribe, drop a like, tap the bell for notifications, send in a super chat. That's the best way to support us. And we really appreciate it. Also, subscribe to Fightful Select, where you get me just irrationally angry about Raw and SmackDown. It's unhealthy, but it's fun. People like it. It's cathartic for some. Kate seems to like it. So, you know, what do you know?
Why go to therapy? That's not true. If you need therapy, go to therapy.
Right.
But the therapy that I would need from Raw and SmackDown would be like, way extra money that I can't afford on top of just like regular things. Don't treat your mental health with it. But you can treat your wrestling mental health with it.
If wrestling mental health can be taken care of for just $5 a month, it's pretty good.
That's a really good deal.
Joey Bag of Donuts sends in our first super chat, says, look in my eyes, what do you see? A calyx of personality.
Oh, yeah. And you're also going to get that on the post show of All Out. It's going to be me and Alex holding down the fort. So you're going to get a calyx of personality in full force. And I am pumped because Alex and I are going to get to be happy, I think.
Yes. Oh, very happy. So inconsolably joyous. this is why I'm hoping personally that for some reason they open the show with CM Punk versus Darby. So you have it's an AEW show. So 4.5 hours between the end of the first match and the end of the night to let it all dissipate. Because if you go straight from seeing CM Punk win his first match in 7 years to being on the show, you're just going to be a ball of light with no vocal cords because you'll have been screaming. And it'll be really hard for me to host the show by myself.
That is a very good point. And I will just be crying.
That's true. Yeah. Ricardo says, hey, Kalex, give me some entertainment.
We're gonna try. NXT attempted to.
Yeah. And Nerguru says, hashtag Team Kalex. Also, NXT is watching a car crash in slow motion. It breaks my heart. My dear God, what do they do to Diamond Mine? The end is near. We'll see. We'll see what they did to Diamond Mine. It's like watching, you know what it is? It's like watching a movie where like they show you the end and then they go back and show you how you got there. We all know how this is going to end. Yeah. It's going to be horrible. And so we're watching like for little signs of what's going to, oh, this was the signal that something, if they had only made this different decision, things might have looked, darn.
They're Tarantino-ing the shit out of us right now. That's what's happening.
Yeah, yeah. No, John.
It's like watching, you know, like the second before a leaf falls off a tree.
Yeah.
It's like watching that.
Yeah, it's true. It's very good. Aaron says, I don't wish to be mean, but I can't take Pete Dunne seriously with that top knot. I mean, Brock Lesnar's got one. Do you take him seriously? Also, cheers to the A team. I think we should call it the KA team.
I'll take that. I'll take either, really.
Yeah, it's good.
If you're saying we're the best, I'll take it.
Ryan says that you didn't dress up. You promised you let us all down. Okay. I saw that little that tweet. Yes, let's not have wardrobe malfunctions. But I appreciated the tweet. Go to Kate's Twitter. You'll find the outfit that she might have worn, but for an ill fitting garment.
I am a professional, kind of.
Shout out to Kate for the back and forth on Twitter talking about Carmelo Hayes and Swerve Scott. I missed this.
Oh, shout out to you.
Yeah.
We can talk about it later, but I just thought it would be weird for Carmelo Hayes to not go for the big guns in this company. But
Lisa Lockhart says team Kale all the way. I think we decided it's Kalex. I think we have simply because it's now a lexicon on other shows. So, like, we can't change it now. That'd be like going from calling somebody, Apollo Crews, back to Apollo, and then back to Apollo Crews later. You can't do that. Like, Mustafa Ali is Ali, and then Mustafa Ali again. It's just crazy. Yeah, no one in their right mind would make a decision like that. So we're not going to do it.
In their right mind is the key phrase of that sentence.
Exactly. It's a... To the moon, or as Cameron Grimes did today, toe the moon, because he likes puns. So this might get us right into the first thing. Young Drizzy sends in, though I hated the Mandy versus Saray finish, it's setting up Mandy to become the next Trish based on next week. I love that more women are used. Great. Let's talk about this. Mandy Rose comes out flanked by JC Jane and Gigi Dolin. And they are still wearing their normal Gigi Dolin and JC Jane stuff. And what it looks like, what it looked like to me was that like there's a hidden deleted storyline from like Mean Girls where Regina George kicks the other girls to the curb and goes and recruits a couple of like burnouts that are smoking behind the gym. And like, you're my new two henchwomen. And they're like, I guess, because they do not look like they go together at all. No. And when they were walking out, Gigi Dolin and JC Jane looked like they wanted to be anywhere else but there, which makes sense. But then we see that they absolutely have Mandy Rose's back. So I guess that's good. Mandy Rose is facing Saray. And this was the first of two times that I was like, oh, darn, my favorite is going to be used to put over somebody I don't really love. And both times, that didn't happen. So I was very happy about that on this episode of NXT because Mandy Rose lost. I mean... lost. She left on purpose because, as we've seen, this is long-term storytelling. Months ago, she and Dana Brooke on Raw had a tag team title match against Nia Jax and Shayna Baszler, and they made Nia very angry, which, as we saw last night, is probably not the best thing to do.
Not great.
Maybe they were right to do this, but they just left during the title match, took a voluntary count out, and said, that's not worth it. It's not worth it. Sorry, it's not worth it. And they never got another title match as a tag team. They literally walked out on their last ever tag team title shot. But Mandy Rose has been established as somebody who voluntarily walks away from matches. So she got kicked in the face really hard. And JC Jane and Gigi Dolin pretended that she was like disfigured. Like she needs plastic surgery. And they threw a towel over her face and walked away, leading her to the back. And that was the end of the match. Your thoughts, Kate Hensler, our women's wrestling expert.
Oh, thank you. I don't like non-finishes, but this one wasn't the worst. I don't like it kicking off the show at all. And I don't feel like Gigi Dolin is someone that listens to anybody else literally ever. I think she's way too cool and too much of a, like, Hell's Favorite. Harlot doesn't, like, hang out with Regina George. That's Janice Ian, damn it. So I don't know what Mandy Rose has done to kind of, like, earn their loyalty, which is a little bit annoying, but also nothing is ever planned ever, and she kind of just got sent down from the main roster. And I know they've had, like, some segments, but, like, Gigi's a badass, and if she's gonna have your back, I would think there'd be something kind of, like, in it for her a little bit more, but this was fine. I just did not like it opening up the show if you were gonna go with a false finish, but this didn't feel like a pointless false finish or something that's going to lead to a bunch of 50-50 booking. Like, it made sense for the story that they're telling. I just like wins and losses. That's all.
Yeah. Me too. I am also a fan of the wins and the losses. I'm always in that. This felt very much like something they would do on the main roster. And they have done many, many times the main roster. And it doesn't, I don't need it in NXT. You can figure out a way to make this work.
Yeah.
Saray could win the match after, you know, Mandy Rose is horribly worried about her face. But I just love the image of her taking a dropkick to the face. Now, I love Saray's running dropkick in the ropes. It always looks brutal. And Mandy Rose, this is how Mandy Rose sells, is by just covering up her face and running away. But it reminded me so much of that scene from the Jack Nicholson Batman, where he's getting plastic surgeon from, like, this back alley doctor. And he's like, he takes off the bandages. He's like, let's see how we did. And then he's just stricken with shock to see Jack Nicholson's face. And he goes, mirror. And he, like, asks for the hand mirror. He's like, rah. He's like, you have to understand that the nerves were completely severed, Mr. Napier. I did what I could. You see what I have to work with here. And it's like butcher's tools. Like, that's what I need that scene next week. Mandy Rose gets horrible, crazy plastic surgery, like an eye's out of place. Like, give me some prosthetics and everything. I need it. I gotta have it. Because now, maybe if she thinks she's disfigured, then she'll become a burnout like the other girls. And then maybe we'll get a little role reversal.
I mean, I have in my notes, I was like, is she a luchador? Because the way she covered her face looked
yes.
like she was on mask. Lucha Mandy written in my mask in my notes. But I mean, we've seen this angle done a million times, right? We saw Cody with it. We saw so many people that their moneymaker has gotten messed up. So I'm kind of okay with that with Mandy. I actually have kind of liked her in this role. I just haven't liked the context around this role, but
I'm happy she's finally wrestling.
She's pretty good. You
know, yeah, it's like she's a lot better than she used to be.
Yeah.
You can see her improving on the main roster. Her being, you know, sent back down, you know, quote unquote, I don't think spoke like to how much she had improved. I just didn't want her to be, I don't want her to be like, she's Eva Marie who actually wrestles. You know what I mean? Like, 'cause Eva Marie doesn't actually wrestle, but it's basically like, she's all about the looks and everything. Just let Mandy Rose wrestle and try and win. You know, that's good. Later in the night, we see Saray got laid out backstage by Gigi Dolin and JC Jane. So maybe she really did like break her face in several places. As because it seems like if it was all an act to get out of the match, you wouldn't have to send your goon squad to beat up the woman who disfigured you, disfigured you.
Did this look like a college dorm to you?
It did.
Like a college dorm to me. There was a poster on the wall.
Yeah.
What was happening?
I'm pretty sure just the PC is just like a single floor of a college dorm.
I think so too.
Yeah, it just feels like that to me. Emily Cease says RIP to NXT, if you have a new logo or whatever. Let's go into the what was your first thought when you saw the logo, Kate Hensler?
My first thought was, okay, this is very different. But my second thought was, what wonderful irony that we are getting this colorful rainbow while they're about to go produce the carbon copy of the same wrestler over and over and over again. And like, you have the red brand and you have the blue brand, and now you're going to have, because this isn't a brand anymore. Like, I was like, oh, perfect. We can't call this like the blue, pink, yellow, green, whatever brand. Like, the Roy G. Biv brand doesn't really work. So like, that's kind of where my thoughts went. But I was just like, what the hell is this? And then like, oh, this is cute. You're giving us a bunch of colors as soon as this is becoming just the least diverse place in the world.
Yeah. My first thought was, take a look. It's a heel hook. It's wrestling rainbow. But no, my first thought was, this is the most cynical thing I've ever seen, because Triple H presided over the metal NXT. Like, that was his baby. That was his aesthetic. That's what he said, because this is what I love. This is my brand. I'm giving it to it. And after WrestleMania, the re-logo was literally a golden skull with a crown and black raven's wings. And it's over the top, and like this, like, it's like, that's a little on the nose for your metal brand. And it just feels to me like they were like, okay, so not that. What's the opposite of that? Rainbows and Wale doing a hip hop track, and now it's fixed. We fixed it, everybody. We fixed NXT because there's no golden skull anymore. It feels like they went to like a strip mall and they pulled somebody off the street who had nothing else better to do and did a focus group. And it was one guy. And they were like, hi, what's your name? My name's Steve. Okay, Steve, do you follow wrestling at all? No. Have you ever watched NXT? What's that? Perfect. Your exact demographic we're looking for. People who don't watch wrestling and have never watched NXT. So here's 5 minutes of NXT. Watch that and then tell us what you don't like. Well, it's kind of dark. Like there's lighting's all dark, and it's like, it's kind of monochromatic, and like, aha, so bright colors. Perfect. Thanks, Steve. You're the one person we talked to about this, and you changed everything about NXT. I have no idea
also,
if that's going to work. Oh, it's
the off-center. X is off-center.
Off-center. I mean, this bothers a lot of people. I honestly didn't see it the first 10 times I looked at the logo. And now that people are complaining about it, I'm like, I guess so. But I'm like the most like whatever. I don't have like an aesthetic where everything's got to be perfectly aligned. I don't have that my brain.
But it's in the middle and it's the symmetrical letter.
Right. No, I totally get it. For people who are into graphic design, it bothers the hell out of them. I didn't see it. I see it now, but I'm like, oh, it doesn't do anything to me. But I get why people are like, this is not how you design a logo.
But that goes back to like the merch. Like, that's also not how you design. I'm like, you are the most resourced company in the world. How are you making amateur graphic design stink?
Right. Right. WWE Mark says NXT sucked. Turn on heels, relying on your review. Well, here we go. I hope you like it, WWE Mark. Chaos Control says the best Fightful team is back to review the X-Man 3 of wrestling. Oh, no, is it that bad? It is the last stand, though. He says that he thinks that Kate has become his adult crush. Well, there you go. That's nice.
You thirst trap him with the funeral wear and the ridiculous sequin outfits, I guess.
Yeah. Matt Rykiel says, Team Kalex all day. I'll be listening to the rest of the pod on the plane to Chicago. Ooh, going to Chicago for the big show.
Yeah, he is. The Paul White, if you will.
The Nerd Guru is sending me a super chat for the show that I do after this, which doesn't get super chats because it's on Fightful Select. So he sent me $5 for when I go nuclear sour on the unprofessionalism of Nia Jax. Shoot or work shoot, it was god awful. Yeah, that's surprisingly not the thing I had the biggest problem with from last night. I find weird things to be really angry about. Nerd Guru says, Mandy can't lead a faction. She fits better as second in command to whatever Frankie Monet has going on. Yeah, I'm worried they're gonna have like a weird like you can't have two things going on the same. Like it's weird. Remember how they used to do? Hollywood would like, we're gonna release Deep Impact and Armageddon within 4 weeks of each other and hope nobody can tell that we have two comet movies. And like, no, one's a meteor, one's a comet, I get it, but basically it's the same thing, and they're coming out within a month of each other. You can't do that. I don't think we can do a Frankie Monet-led faction and a Mandy Rose-led faction, and they're both basically the same. They fill the, I know they're not the same character, but they fill the same function in a wrestling company. And that's hard to do those at the same time. But what do I know? On Raw, they have three, count them, three oddball tag teams. Like, oh, hey, Mustafa Ali and Mansoor. Like, Mustafa's trying to teach him how to be a heel. And Mansoor's trying to teach him how to be a babyface again. And that's cool. And Riddle just wants to ride a scooter. And Randy's all, And then we got Rhea Ripley and Nikki A.S.H. And now they're friends, even though they wanted to kill each other 2 weeks ago. But can they coexist? So if we do those three things at the same time on Raw, who's to say we can't do Frankie Monet and Mandy Rose leading factions?
First of all, how dare you call women in wrestling friends? They are best friends.
Yeah, besties.
They're only best friends.
Yeah.
Or mortal enemies. I don't just have normal, healthy relationships as a woman. Yeah. Best friends.
Yes.
Enemies.
Yeah. And the best way to become enemies is to be best friends and to have that one best friend betray you.
That's it.
Just what a betrayal. Exactly true.
That's how women work.
Yeah, that's the only way women work. I totally get it. Chris Reigns says, I'm here for some more Team Kalex fun. Getting so excited for all the Chicago craziness this weekend. Ah, yes. Kevin Steets is mentioning my t-shirt, Big Kahuna. That's that Hawaiian burger joint. I hear they got some tasty burgers. Ain't never had one myself. How are they? I wish it was a real thing, but that's just his t-shirt. I would love a Hawaiian burger. That would be good.
Super chat more so Alex can buy Hawaiian burgers.
I guess. I mean, don't they have like a Hawaiian burger at Red Robin? I'm so bad. Like when I go to places, I'm like, I know what I like and I will get that.
As opposed I'm the same to like way.
Trying something new and different. No.
I give courtesy looks through the menu. Oh yeah, I'm not going to get pad thai at this Thai place. Sure.
Right.
Yes, I am.
Yeah. Okay, what happened next? I love doing this show. Okay, what happened? Oh, what happens next? Tommaso Ciampa gets to cut a little promo talking about what they did to Timmy. And Tommy's taking out revenge. He's going for revenge. And it was very poignant, I thought. They've set up the convention of Tommaso Ciampa sitting in a chair and Toothless Timmy sitting in a chair next to him. And at the end of the promo, Tommaso Ciampa gets up and throws his chair behind him and smashes against the garage door. And Toothless Timmy just stays there and then smiles into the camera. And that's the convention they've used. But now Toothless Timmy's not there. So when he throws the chair behind him and runs away, it's just an empty chair where Toothless Timmy should be. And it made me feel like, oh, Tommy's alone. He doesn't have his best friend with him. How will he ever overcome these odds later tonight against Rich Holland? Because Rich Holland has his best friend with him. Not Oney Lorcan. Not Danny Burch. Not Pete Dunne. I'm talking about the big black cock that he comes out with and points directly at the screen. That's his best friend.
That's some women's best friend, too.
Yeah, no, real, right? It's true. He calls him cocky. He's like, come on, cocky, we got to go out and have a match. Like, okay, let's go. That was a match we'll talk about when we get to it. Did you have anything to say about this little promo? I thought it was effective. I love Tommaso Ciampa. Him never getting to hold Goldie again after he had to give it up because he was hurt. And then his daughter was born. And like, it was like dedicated to like that. Like, I hope he gets to be champion one more time. Like, really, I do. So I have a really soft spot for him, but I don't know. What are your Tommaso Ciampa feels?
Oh, I love him. I think he's kind of similar to how Eddie Kingston is in AEW to me, where everything feels very real, and I buy everything he says. And I think he is great when he has a belt, but he is the last guy to need one because he's just there to kick everybody's ass. And I love characters like that. Face, heel, I don't give a crap. If you're there to kick everybody's ass, I'm in on it. Yeah. I would love for him to have another title run, but I don't know what any of this means anymore. That's the tricky thing about these episodes is I'm so like, different. They're acting like this is all building to something. I don't know what that is anymore. Like, right. What does that look like? So, I mean, Ciampa can't really do anything wrong. This was short and sweet. Yeah. I buy it when he throws a chair. I'm like, yeah, this dude's really going to kick someone's ass.
I think that the thing that I always looked at was that he didn't really care about being the champion. He just wanted to make sure Johnny wasn't the champion. That was the big deal to him. And then he got the title and he became like entranced by the idea of being champion. And then he had to give it up. And on general principle, he needs it back. Because I never lost that match. Like, that's the thing for him is like, if you take that from me, that's fine. I'll go on my merry way. But I had to give that up. That was not my choice. And I'll be damned if I don't have that back. And I've always loved him referring to it as Goldie. I thought that was nice. Too. I mean, Ridge Holland calls it cocky and he calls it Goldie. It's very nice.
Everything's got nicknames. Everybody's points of pride have nicknames.
That's right. Yeah. Yeah, Tommaso Ciampa has the NXT title belt, and Ridge Holland has a big black cock. So back from the break, and here comes Duke Hudson to fight Kyle O'Reilly. We didn't actually talk about this on last week's episode. We got breezed right by it. But I did love Duke Hudson walking up to like gently talk shit to Kyle O'Reilly, like, hey, like, how you doing, man? Look like you got your ass kicked. I mean, congratulations on the win and everything. And Kyle O'Reilly just, like, slaps him in the face. Like, Kyle O'Reilly just flying off the handle in an instant, like, irrationally, makes his character so much more compelling. Because he's like, hey, I'm cool Kyle. I'm totally cool. I'm going to do a sick burn. But anyway, I might just slap a dude who's a foot taller than me in the face. And I think it's kind of cool.
That, and I feel like you've also met that person, the guy that's cool until they're not. Like, like we know that guy. That guy's great, right? I have liked what I've seen of Duke Hudson so far. I think he's got room to grow, but that's fine. He should. I liked last week's segment, and there's a lot of things that I really liked about this match if you want to get into it.
Yeah, no, I really like the match.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. If you had an extra hour in your day, what is the first thing that you would do? Read a book, take a nap, play some video games, do something for a friend, volunteer? A lot of us spend our lives wishing that we had more time. But the question is, time for what? And if it was unlimited, how would you go about using it? The best way to squeeze that special thing into your schedule is to know what's important for you and to make it a priority. And therapy can help you find what matters to you so you can do more of it. Therapy is so valuable. It's gotten me through some tough times, really helped me reflect on things that are important, specifically with BetterHelp. If you're thinking about starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be the convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. This is so beneficial when you've got that crammed schedule and you can't even imagine finding that extra hour. You can do it all from home. Fill out a brief questionnaire, get matched with a licensed therapist, and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. Visit BetterHelp.com/Fightful today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Fightful. It's so flexible and it can help you find that social sweet spot with BetterHelp. That's BetterHelp.com/Fightful.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
I think it's one of those things of like Duke Hudson is, I believe he's over 30. I don't know how old he is. He looks over 30. Remember, no over 30 and no vanilla M words. But he's over, if he is over 30, he's definitely not an M word, not a little person. And I think he's so natural on the mic and giving just like, not even on the mic, just like giving promos backstage and stuff. He's so natural, that kind of easy, effortless delivery of his lines is something that's really hard to teach. You either have it or you don't, and he does, and that's really interesting to me. I think that he's the kind of guy that if you strapped a rocket to him, like, and you said, we're going to give you, like, 6 wins in a row, like, he's the kind of guy you could groom to, like, bypass everything else and take that title off of Samoa Joe. Like, he's big. He's handsome. He can talk great. He's got an accent. Like there's a lot of really good things about Duke Hudson. And yet, like, I'm also content to see him perform really, really well in a loss against Kyle O'Reilly. Like, it's a weird thing for me. He's one of those guys that, like, depending on how they book him, could go any number of ways, including all the way to the top if they decided to.
Sure. He's definitely someone you could book win after win after win, have him go up to the main roster, go 2-2 for no reason. He's that guy, you know. he's great. I think there's a lot of value to him on both sides of the coin, like you just said. And there was a lot that I loved from Kyle in this match. The ribs, everything that they did with the ribs in this match to me was great.
Yep.
Duke Hudson going harder on them after they were already injured. Kyle O'Reilly going to Irish whip him and being like, I can't, my ribs hurt. When you're injured, your performance should be affected by such things. I also liked commentary putting over Kyle O'Reilly's story in this a little bit. Wade Barrett had said something to the effect of, you know, the bigger you are, the bigger the target you are. Sometimes that's not always a great thing. What a great way to articulate the size differential between the two. I really appreciated his commentary on that, but just a lot of really great things in this match. I felt like Duke Hudson was great. I felt like this was Kyle O'Reilly doing a great job of storytelling, though, from the finish, the way he was taking some of those boots from him, like, so fantastic, and just a really great sound way for a smaller dude to win a match. I felt like there were so many believable moments in here.
Yeah, I really enjoyed the match. I also loved, like, oh, okay, well, you can't hit my ribs if I wreck both of your knees. Like, I'm going to tear both of your knees apart, and now you can't hit me in the ribs anymore. And then, like, the flying knee off the top rope to the back of the knee, that looked really vicious. And then they get to see, I think Kyle O'Reilly has had a heel hook t-shirt for months. And when they gave it to him, he hadn't yet won a match with a heel hook. Like, I feel like that, if that's the way he's going to win matches, I love that. I'm going to use this move. It really hurts. You're going to tap out to it. If I get it in, that's it. That's it for you. I think we need more of those guys in NXT with, like, an ironclad submission finisher.
Agreed.
Like, if I lock it in the middle of the ring, you're not getting out of it. And I think Kyle O'Reilly is a perfect guy to do that. But I feel like they don't have one. Like, they have guys who are like, I'm going to choke you. Like, that's not the same thing as like a great limb submission. Like, I feel like that is endemic only to that particular guy. I think that works a lot. And I think Kyle's perfect for it. And it's a good one to use too.
Agreed.
So Ilya Dragunov comes out, and he is limping. Like, give the guy a crutch or something. Like he had one leg entirely bent. Like, he was putting zero weight on his left leg. Like he was walking around like a flamingo, and he was walks into the middle of the ring, and you could tell his right leg was bent like this underneath his slacks. Like, dude, you're gonna tear out your other knee putting all of your weight on it. Don't do that. Like you could sell a different way.
But okay. It has to be like this.
Anyway, I enjoyed this. The crowd was into it. Like, this was like the Full Sail crowd to me tonight. They were giving some really good responses to people. They wouldn't let him talk. They were giving you deserve it. A please don't go chant broke out. Ilya Dragunov cuts a, like, you know, now we know what is it is time. This is where it means to be NXT UK champion. I am the man who's begun the biggest battle of his life. And this, I would like to come back here someday, perhaps when you don't have as many COVID cases. But some other time, perhaps I will come back and we will see what will happen then. But until it's now, I am Cesar, and I am, like, he's got the biggest, like, most obvious German accent, but everything about him, his whole character is Russian. It's a very odd thing. But I think he's great. He got busted open in that Roddy Strong match. That is a gnarly ass scab that he's got over here. Like, it is wow. That is bad. Is that what happened to Mandy Rose? Because if so, throw a towel over it. Like, that looks bad.
Only a best friend.
Yeah,
only
yeah.
Fix that for you.
That's true. I don't know what their plans are with NXT UK, because Dragunov is not a big boy. A big boy is Walter. So I don't know what their whole thing is. Like, is it okay to be a vanilla little person if you're in the UK? I don't know. Like, I don't know what the future holds for that at all. But I love it. I love him being the champion. It's something different. There was a really cool thing I saw where it dawned on me that, like, we had that NXT UK championship tournament 5 years ago, and it's just been four dudes. And one guy has been the champ for a week, and the other guy was champ for like less than a year, Tyler Bate. And it's just the other guys, and that's it. And Pete Dunne had a really long run. And then Walter was like, hold my beer. And he had the longest run ever. And so it's a lager. It's a big giant stein of beer. Hold it for me. It's too heavy for you. You can put it down. I think it's really cool that, like, they've only had the four. And Ilya Dragunov, who knows how long he's going to hold it.
Yeah, first of all, if you haven't left a thumbs up on this video after those accents that Alex just did, I don't know what you're waiting for. So give us a thumbs up. it's my favorite part of the show, and I'm on it. It's the best. I love Dragunov. He's like the perfect, just iconic wrestling guy. Like, his intensity. I feel like when he had that scab, he was like, yeah, I've got this nasty scab, and I'm going to go out there, and I'm going to give this promo, like, What an absolute little badass. I love him. I had several moments in the show where I was like, what are they going to do with NXT UK? Like, they've brought a few people over. Are they testing them out? Are they abandoning the rest of it? Like, are these people going here and then up to the main roster? Because it seems silly to bring them to NXT first. It's just a very confusing landscape, and it makes watching these things kind of cloudy. But as far as Dragunov goes, like, I love this dude. And when you said that about Pete Dunne and Walter, I was thinking about, like, God, that match was incredible. And to start Walter's reign with that and then to end it with this incredible match, like, what a beautiful bookend to such an awesome championship reign. Like, I just absolutely love that that's how he got to start and finish his championship run. So, I liked this promo. It was kind of typical, but the crowd reaction was great, and it kind of should have been typical. Like, he slayed the dragon, you know what I mean? The general, right. He's gone. So, but what does happen next, I just genuinely have no idea. And not like in a fun way, like in a, I don't know what's happening with this entire promotion way. So I guess we kind of just have to hang in there.
Yeah. Yeah. It's been a while since the match, and I haven't had a chance to give my hot take. So I loved Walter versus Ilya Dragunov, and I didn't love the finish.
There's a few people that feel that way, I think.
I wanted Walter to pass out. I wanted him to not give up that championship that he has held on to for 800 days or whatever, to like force Ilya to choke him almost to death because he's just not doing it. Like, Ilya gets on his back, and it's basically, I wanted it to be the Wesley versus Fezzik scene from Princess Bride, where he's just choking him, and finally he goes down to one knee and then to all fours, and then he slumps down face down out. And the ref has to lift up an arm and it falls back down and that's it. That was what I really wanted. It didn't make a lot of sense for Walter to be like, I am the greatest fighter you've ever seen. I will chop your heart so much it explodes. But please don't hurt my neck. I can't do it anymore. You can have my title now. I don't want it. I thought that was one thing I didn't love. The match was amazing. I wish he'd passed out. That's my hot take. We go right from an in-ring interview promo to a backstage interview. Arash Marchese interviews Kaylee Ray, and she just talks shit about everybody. She's like, yeah, you and you and you and you and you, you all suck, but especially you. Well, no, she did say, who the hell is Zoe? Who's Zoe Stark? Who is Zoe Stark? And I'm like, well, honestly, I don't know anymore.
We don't know either.
We have no idea.
Can't answer.
She's one half of the tag team champions, but what does that mean? Also, she's like, Ember Moon sucks. So much. I can't do as thick of a Scottish brogue as she does. Like, Nikki Cross has a really good, it's a very thick Scottish accent. But hers is done with the powers of good. And Kaylee Ray is done with the powers of evil. And it's like, it's way over. Like, Drew McIntyre is like, hold on. Like, you can look and slow down. I'm over here cutting promos about how I stole my sword from the belly of the Loch Ness Monster. And I'm like one quarter as Scottish as you are. Mm-hmm. So let's just, you know.
Hold my sword, bro.
Yeah,
that's
exactly
where he's at.
I like Kaylee Ray. I'm glad she's here. We see later Ember Moon responding to it. It's her birthday. She says, and that she heard Kaylee Ray talking shit about her, and she's like, you could stop that, or I can make you stop. How about next week? And I say, how about yes? I would like to see that match.
Yeah, I liked both of these. I feel like if you're Ember Moon, I don't know if the only thing I didn't like was like her saying, you're trying to make a name off of mine, kind of, because I don't know if she's like hot enough shit in NXT right now to kind of be pulling that off. But like, these were fine. I'm excited for that match because I feel like it's going to be really hard hitting and both of them can really go.
I think she's coasting on, I used to be an NXT champion.
That's fair. NXT
Women's Champion. But to me, it was like, they could have just had her beat Asuka for it. If they were going to have Asuka like lose the like not even really bring up the streak until it was convenient for them, when she lost it to Charlotte, because it was like, I give you this title. And I was like, oh, great. Like, they could put it up like in a ladder match. She could win it that way. But they literally just handed her the title. And it was like,
that's not how that works.
That's not how that tracks, I don't think. No. Mark Losper says, given how much NXT UK has screwed over the UK indies, them leaving doesn't seem like it would be the worst thing. Hope you didn't miss Nia Jax slander. Listen, there's like, I have so much Nia Jax slander to dish out on the following show. I don't want to do it twice.
I mean, I'm here right now if you wanted to do part one and two, because I have a lot of things to say about it. But we also have to fit into a certain time slot.
Yeah, you know.
I don't want you to be up till dawn talking about Nia.
Don't drop people on their heads.
No.
And then, especially somebody like Charlotte. And then when that person gets pissed and slaps you in the face for real, maybe don't give them the two-piece. Yeah. I mean, that was crazy.
She also, did you see the spot with Rhea?
Oh, yes.
No, I was like, she could have concussed both of them in like 2 minutes.
Yeah.
Just such an unsafe worker. And I
was unbelievably protected.
And I don't get it.
Somebody was posting all the GIFs of her injuring people. And it's like, and like seven of them are Kyrie Sane. And like, maybe that's Kyrie Sane's like, you know what? I quit wrestling. Goodbye.
Yeah, and she was like literally yelling, "Hey, don't throw me into the ropes!" But like something bad happened, which was the coolest thing that happened at the same time, which was she punched Becky in the face, and Becky made it incredible. And then I feel like people like started to justify that was okay, and it super is not. No, like
it was the craziest happy accident ever, because if they have that match, Ronda versus Becky, Becky loses to Ronda clean, and we never get the actual Becky. We never get it. So thank you, Nia Jax, for being a reckless piece of crap, but don't do that. Don't make it a habit. Joey Bag of Donuts says, Alex's Arnold impression deserves money. Thank you very much.
It was a Walter impression, first of all.
Listen, it's a Walter impression. He just happens to sound a lot like Arnold because they are both from Austria. That's all.
There you go.
Drake Maverick and Grayson Waller. They don't get to talk about it, but they mention it, and we're like, this is a weird thing. Usually Drake Maverick is the feisty one, and he's got to be the more even keeled one. Who was the person that he usually used to team with that he's not teaming with now, and what is the reason why that can't continue to happen? I wonder. Goodbye, Killian Dane. But hello, Grayson Waller, who I don't even know how you describe this dude's look. Like, he's got like frosted tips and a weird goatee, and he's wearing boxing shorts. And he's Australian. Like, it was just one of those things of like somebody on a character creator on a WWE 2K hit random and was like, it's good, it's fine. He's from Australia, he's got frosted tips, he wears boxing shorts. Yeah, it's good. Let's go.
He's like a boy band member doing one of those gimmick fights. That's what I thought. Like, he looks like if you took Lance Bass and was like, you're next against Logan Paul for some reason, and you're wearing
Oh, wouldn't it be great if Lance Bass just like cold cocked him? And that was the end of Jake Paul. That would be great.
Amazing.
Lance Bass comes out like this and just ends up like clocking him right in the nose. And that if he goes down, that'd be great.
Bye, 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 motherfucker. Yeah.
If you were wondering who was going to be the one to end your streak, Jake Paul, it's going to be me.
I could do this the rest of the show. It's fine.
Okay. So, So Grayson Waller gets pinned by the, he tags himself in because he's a cocky guy. He's not cocky. He's not cocky. He's not Rich Holland cocky, but he's cocky. He's arrogant. Yeah. He's arrogant. So he tags himself in. Drake Maverick gets thrown into like the weird, like light stanchion thing they have out there, which is a weird, it's a bad place for it. Too many things can happen, as evidenced by Drake Maverick getting thrown into it. And then he gets the power bomb uppercut thingy, and he loses. There you go.
Yeah. I want Drake Maverick versus Walter. To which our own dude Felice said, "Why do you want to watch someone die, Kate?"
Yeah.
And I said, Malakai Black versus Brock Anderson wasn't enough for me. So that's where I want this to go.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I think Drake Maverick, like, teaching Grayson Waller how to be a NXT superstar is a weird thing. Like, it's so many, like if you had to, like, these are storylines being set up that I feel like are not going to be around in 6 weeks. Like Drake Maverick and Grayson Waller as the like, you know, odd couple tag team. I feel like it's not a thing we'll be seeing by mid-October. That's not good. Los Dino is here with a super take. Thank you for super take. It's a wrong take. Pass out finishes are overdone. They mean nothing. Plus, Ilya did a neck crank. If you don't tap, you don't live. Listen, it's fake. It's a fake match. So he wasn't actually going to kill him. And pass out finishes mean a lot to me. They are overdone in situations that don't warrant them. This is a situation that warranted it. A guy who's been champion and an unbeatable monster for 800 days doesn't just say, here, you may have my championship. It's a fake fight. They chose how to end it. That's how they ended it. That's my point.
I kind of feel like I see both sides of the coin. I would prefer what you said, Alex, but if that happened, like, I think tapping out makes Dragunov seem like a big deal, or is right. supposed to.
Oh, yeah.
But, like, he didn't come out and do that today. So if you're going to do that, the follow-up should be this.
Right, right. Ilya Dragunov seems like a big deal beating Walter anyway, because nobody can beat Walter. It diminishes Walter by having him tap out. Instead of, just to me, it does. Not hugely, but it diminishes him. It doesn't make Dragunov higher than it would if he made the guy pass out. To me. Mark Losper says, the instinct jokes just got a Fightful Select sub out of me. Genius. Okay. All right. Sean, that's yeah, one. Sean. That's one for Team Kalex.
So
I am anticipating that next month we will see in our paychecks that particular Fightful Select stub just split two ways between us, because otherwise you wouldn't have that money. So, because
you know what, Alex, we're not just another player in this game for two. We're not.
No, no, we're definitely not. Yeah.
This is how good NXT was.
That's true.
So many NSYNC references.
Yeah.
Oh no.
Indy says, please give Dexter Lumis a chance. I'll think about it. And then Lumis is like, he just materializes out of thin air. I'll never get tired of that. So there's a report that Gargano is going to be the top heel in NXT moving forward. And I'm like, why are you doing that? Why? Like, he's so close to being that wonderful, annoying tweener that we love to hate sometimes, but also root like crazy for. Making him the top heel doesn't make a lot of sense to me. Because if you do that, you have to have him, like, what? I don't know, like, send Indy to a nunnery and put, like, lock Dexter Lumis in a tower somewhere. Like, what is he doing that makes him that much more of a heel? Like, he's a lovable a-hole now, and that's perfect. He's walking that tightrope perfectly. You make him the top heel, to me, that signifies evil, you know?
Well, I think they probably saw how well it's working with Becky, and we're like, we're gonna do that. Because that's got over gangbusters with her as
heel. Yeah.
Hopefully they just mean the most elevated heel, and not that they're making him the most heelity heel ever.
Right, yeah.
But yeah, no, I don't have any faith in them.
No. I like this match. I like the Johnny Gargano versus LA Knight match. Larry Knight, La Knight. I liked it. I hated the finish because I don't like distraction finishes. Those my kingdom for one episode of a WWE product that doesn't rely on at least one distraction finish. I thought it was cute that, like, Dexter wanted to do, like, the little high five thing, and Johnny, in spite of himself, wanted to do it too, but then he just, like, gets turned around right into the finisher, and I'm like, oh, okay. And then, but what I did love was Dexter Lumis, and it's very slight, but his normal like big eye thing is this, right? And then once he realized that he had cost Johnny the match, he went from this to this, which is subtle, but I really, really appreciated that there was a moment. Yeah.
I recently showed my sister, who does not watch wrestling, Dexter Lumis, and her response was, what? Which means that this character is perfect.
Yeah.
Because that's what your reaction is supposed to be. Yeah, this match was really fun, actually. There were a lot of really fun spots, but I don't want distraction finishes either, and I got two of them in 2 hours on NXT. Man, yeah. Come on.
Yeah. Gargano versus Knight brought to you by The Distraction. Nerd Guru says, agreed.
I'm fine if Jeremy's doing it, because that's the name of his show.
Yeah. I don't know if he deserves this spot either, but I could see like LaKnight leading a faction of bad guys that could be a middle to the top heel entity in there. I don't know if I need to see a LaKnight title run or anything like that. But him being a thorn in somebody's side, particularly because of the numbers game, I'm sure, you just went to Vegas and recruited some people. You got to have a bunch of dudes back there who are big, because this is what we're doing now. Just give those guys to LaKnight and have him send him out there to get wrecked by Samoa Joe until LaKnight can sneak in and do his finisher, do something like that.
I actually really like LA Knight, and I really liked him as Eli Drake.
I like him as Eli Drake more than I like him as LaKnight. But
well, and yet part of it's just been his booking. Like last week, he was like, "I lost this fake belt, which means I should get a real belt shot." And we were like, "What?" And then he was like, "And now also, I have issues with Johnny Gargano, so they need to fix his booking in a hurry." I hope, but like, he hasn't been there terribly long, so I'm hoping that like as they break him in, you get to see more of what he's capable of. But him as a mouthpiece for a stable, I think is a great idea, because he can lean in so many directions. He can be extremely showy, but he can also like ground a lot of stuff in truth. You can kind of turn him up and turn him down as you need him to, which is fun. And I think he did a lot of that with Cameron Grimes. So I'm with you. He could lead a stable. Just don't have Malcolm Bivens lead it, because then it'll break up.
It's not good.
So sad.
I really enjoyed this little moment where MSK walked into Regal's office and we're like, we want to give Birch and Lorcan a title match because we know they never lost it. And I think that's a wonderful little detail of what makes a babyface team a babyface team. And it may be stupid, because it may cost them the titles. But I do appreciate that, like, that's a thing that a babyface team would do. And I also liked the little detail of, like, of William Regal going, yes, of course, Odie and Danny are owed a title match because they've never lost the belts. But because of their actions last week, I was going to strip them of the opportunity. But if you insist, gentlemen. Like, it was just, this is a wonderful thing of, like, that little detail of they weren't going to get the title shot because they were bad boys. But this magnanimous, honorable gesture from our babyface champ may have just sealed their fate. And I like that a lot, because like if that little detail of they weren't going to get the title match, but now you asked for it. So next week we get MSK versus Lorcan and Birch. I don't know if we're going to have the title switch hands on a taped show, but that kind of a thing may lead down the road to something like that.
I couldn't agree more. I love all those little nuances, because it also makes the bad guys feel more mean, because they got punished. They should be in timeout, darn it. But if the babyface is asking for it, darn it, they deserve that shot. And you're right. Like, that's, I kind of like when faces are, when they're stupid in the name of integrity, that's fine by me. Like, when they're stupid because they're so stupid because they're trying to do the right thing. That kind of stupid I'm okay with. When they're stupid because they're just idiots doing dumb stuff, that I don't like. But when it's like a matter of like, well, this championship is supposed to be a symbol of integrity, and an integrity move would be to go give them a title shot. Mm-hmm. That's okay. Like, I appreciate those things too.
Distracted, like stupid because you were distracted by your opponent's, the person you're feuding with's ring music coming up and looking at the Titantron, so you get rolled up by somebody else. That's the wrong kind of stupid. Being stupid on general principle. That's a good kind of stupid. I like that.
Yes, I was going to say. Being on the top rope in a battle royal. Stupid.
Yes, stupid.
Dumb things.
Volob says, just a reminder, Los Angeles Knight has the Kavorka. It's true. He does. He said it himself, and who are we to doubt him? I'm assuming Xia Li is no longer around because she's not really talked about, and they didn't do a thing where she left. Like, it would have been interesting if they had done like a whole thing where like she had decided, like if Mei Ying had said, "Go out, you're ready. Go out and do something." I know she got hurt in her match with Raquel. But it's a weird thing to like not have her around at all or even referenced. So Boa is like, I failed her last week. But now Mei Ying's going to come in and kick some ass next week. And so we get to see a 5,000-year-old dragon lady have her in-ring debut. I wonder if she'll vape in somebody's face. Okay. We'll see where this goes. They immediately went to this thing where like, is this like an Easter egg? We're supposed to be paying attention to this. Because we had Wade Barrett go, I was trying to talk to the person who lost, Zion Quinn or whatever, who won versus Boa last week, but I can't find him anywhere. And I was like, ooh, intrigue. Maybe he was kidnapped by Mei Ying. And then Beth Phoenix just like negs it immediately. She's like, no, it's true. He trains by himself, so nobody really knows where to find him. Like, wait, which is it? Is it like an innocuous thing like he likes to keep to himself? Or was he kidnapped by a 5,000-year-old dragon lady who's going to fill his lungs with vape? And that's metal in your lungs. Like, this is a very important thing. We need to get to the bottom of this, is what I'm saying.
We do, but at the same time, we don't because it's all ending in 2 weeks. So
yeah, it's true. It's true. It's true. All of these things don't need to be getting the bottom of. It's like Woody's Roundup from Toy Story 2, where Woody found out that he was the star of a show at one point. But there's the cliffhanger, literal cliffhanger, where he's jumping over the Grand Canyon on the back of Bullseye, and then there's no more episodes, and the show is canceled. Like, I feel like I would honestly love it if NXT after the taped episodes came back for a live episode, it's all rainbow, and then they never mention anything that happened before ever again.
Oh my gosh, completely.
Like just anybody brings it up, like, what are you talking about? That never happened. Like, it's just a completely different timeline that is starting right there.
And we give them all new names too.
Yes, all new names.
Why not?
All new names. New tag team champs, Rich Holland and Cocky. So that'll be fun. So we got Raquel versus Jessica Maia. And Jessica Maia, like, I'm going to hurt your leg. And Raquel Gonzalez is like, good luck with that. Here's a giant clothesline and my giant powerbomb thing. Have fun when you wake up. This is the kind of thing I wish they would do more often. Just let the champ come out, wrestle a quick squash, and remind everybody that she's not to be fucked with. Because usually it's like they get, maybe they'll get one special match along the way where it's a title match or whatever. But usually it's like takeover, and we won't see you again until the next takeover. It's like there's some stuff you can do in the ring between there.
I agree with you. This is especially for the type of champion that Raquel is. Like, she should be doing this. Like, she is that dominant. She's had the title for that long. Like, you should be the kind of champion that just comes out, squashes somebody like a little bug, and goes away. And I feel like she would be a really great replacement for Nia. I'll just put it that way.
She's everything Nia isn't.
Yeah.
Like, she's huge without it being like a thing where, like, I feel like they wouldn't be tempted to be like, hey, why don't you slap your own butt?
Like, right, yeah, she like, has a butt, but like, you don't have to maybe like
she's very, very large without it being about her size. You know what I mean? Like that's, I don't know how to say it in a way that like, hey, to Vince, she's, Nia Jax isn't big. She's big and fat.
Right.
And that's an important point in Vince's eyes. But you don't have to worry about any of that stuff. You just have this giant woman out there who's powerbombing women through the ring like that. But do I have any faith?
No, of course
not. That they will do anything good with Raquel Gonzalez? No. The nerd dude who says Mei Yang's finisher has to be called metal in your lungs.
It does.
I would pop so hard if she did the vape thing, if she blew smoke at somebody, and then we would have Wade Barrett go, "That's metal in your lungs." Like I would just howl on my couch at home. Please, Wade Barrett, if you're watching, please do that for me.
And then Beth Phoenix is like, "No, it's not. It's vape in your face.
It's just water vapor. It's completely harmless. There's no chemicals in that." So Joe gets a backstage interview with Wade Barrett, and I like the tenor of this, like the whole like it. I'm going to set a precedent now. From now on, this is what it means to be NXT champion. And I like that. I like that he says that this is the other stuff. It was like great men who came before me, like the only two guys I fought since Nakamura and Finn Balor, the guy I took the title from and the guy who took the title from me. Like those are the only two champions I recall from NXT. I haven't been watching the product, you see. And I hated the guy that I took the title from this time, so I have no idea who else was ever the champion.
And so do you guys, by the way. Yeah, the guy that got booed out of the Performance Center because he did such a good job with him. Yeah.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy. I like this. I like that he's basically saying who's going to step up. And I think that it is an open-ended thing now, and I honestly think they don't know.
Yeah.
That they don't know what they're doing yet because they got to figure out what the whole thing, because there's the Pete Dunne question still of whether like what his contract exactly is. So this seems like they're setting him up to be a top challenger, but he might just be like just vanished. Like the net when we come back to live episodes, he might not be there anymore. They just and they'll never mention him. Pete who? Peter what? No, that doesn't ring a bell. No. Yeah.
It's almost like fun at this point, but also very sad because there's people's careers and a really great product at stake. But it is kind of like, this is getting wild. Like nobody knows when anybody's contract ends because apparently nobody in Stanford can manage a fucking spreadsheet like with just names and dates in it. Does somebody have 30 days? Do they have 90 days? What brand are they on? Like it's there's a horse loose and
there's a horse loose in a hospital.
Oh my goodness.
Yeah.
I'm gonna exist after this? Who knows?
Yeah. Who knows? Who knows? I. Yeah. I need. Like for Pete Dunne to cut a promo on somebody on the final taped episode, and the next live episode they just do like a thing of like, Pete Dunne died on the way back to his home planet. Like that was it. And they just poochie him out of existence, and we'll never mention him again.
Oh my gosh! But like in the car crash, he was on his back, so he still went out on his back. You know what I mean?
Yeah. Chris Rain says the one thing we do know is that Adam Cole doesn't have any cavities.
Jeremy Lambert wrote a story on that today. You guys should go read it. Very important.
It's very important. He doesn't have any cavities. That means he's medically cleared. Because if he needs oral surgery. You never know when he might be out.
They didn't even paywall that for you guys. That is a hot story.
That is a hot
story. That is available for the public.
Yes. So Roderick Strong, like, I don't know. Do you like this? I don't like this. He set up an open challenge last week on the show, and then they I was like, oh, I'm interested to see who it's going to be. And then they go, the open challenge was answered over the weekend on social media. And I was like, what are you, half the fun of the open challenge is seeing the dude's music, hearing the guy's music hit. And he walks down the ramp and you get to see the champ in real time assess his chances of winning this match, his title defense or whatever it is. Like, I know Roderick Strong's not a champ right now, but still, like, that's a thing. Like,
they did that on AEW once too, I think. I can't remember. Maybe with Britt. But it's so annoying. First of all, it wasn't even on TikTok. So what's the point if you're going to do it on social media and it's not on TikTok exclusively? No. Second of all, like, remember when Cena did it and Owens came out and it was insane? Like, that's kind of the point of the open challenge because
When Cena did it and it was obviously that was insane, but like when Cena did it and like guys who like you were like, oh, I would love to see this match. It'd be, I don't think they're gonna beat Cena, but this'll be great. Like Sami Zayn like came out and had this match and it was like, that was awesome. And like I remember an open challenge that I'll never forget was Seth Rollins doing an open challenge for the WWE title. Like, come on out. Who's going to come out? And it was Neville. And they had, like, one of the greatest false finishes I've ever seen in my life. And the crowd was so into Neville maybe beating Seth Rollins. They were beside themselves when Rollins got a foot on the rope. Oh, my God. Like, that kind of thing where it gets to people. You can find out who you need to push. Now, the thing was, they found out who they needed to push with Neville, and they never pushed him. And so look where he is now. He's like, you know, he's doing something else, somewhere else, being awesome. But like, you can find out when you have things like this, the crowd goes crazy for like the opportunity of this thing. And now it's like, listen, I love the little Japanese fellow with his blazer with his face on it. But we could have had like something really like important. I don't know if important's the right word, but like, something really interesting here. And it was like obvious when he came out, they were like, oh, this guy's going to get the tar beaten out of him. And he did. And that was it. Like, it was okay. You know,
this also made me think about like the fact that it was taped. Cause I was like, maybe they filmed the open challenge part of this after the match or something. Like it felt so disjointed that I was like, this feels like a taped episode all of a sudden, but you're right. The purpose of the open challenge is to find out in real time who it is, because it makes your head go like, what are the possibilities? This could be everyone, anyone. And then they just tell you, which is boring. And then the champ knew the whole time. So it's like, well, then did you just create a matchup?
Yeah. Like, I mean, I appreciate Jiro saying, Ikemen Jiro saying that Kushida was his hero, is his hero. And that's why he's fighting for his honor or whatever. And as soon as he is healthy, he will beat you for the title. And like, okay, great. I want Kushida to come back healthy as soon as possible because I want to see that Roderick Strong versus Kushida match. They came out with their two giant white bread, loaves of white bread, two giant walking loaves of white bread come out with Roderick Strong. The Diamond Mine is alive and well in the spirit of two giant walking loaves of white bread, who are the Creed brothers. Now, I will say I did appreciate what passes for long-term storytelling. Weeks ago, Bivens was walking past Regal's office, and there were two giant loaves of white bread working security, and he handed them his card, and now they're in the Diamond Mine. I do feel like that's basically how WWE is doing recruiting now, because now is when I'm going to read this tweet. From John Canzano, who is a reporter, for the Oregonian. He's a columnist for the Oregonian, sports columnist in Portland, Oregon. Portland State. It's a decent sized university, but it has a small football team. This guy isn't small. He says Portland State offensive lineman John Cron, K-R-A-H-N. So I feel like they're going to call him John Cron, but it's going to be K-R-O-N-N. Yep. John Cron. Cron. That's going to be his
chance. This is the tall Paul of the show.
It is.
John Cron.
John Cron. he has received an inquiry from WWE of Pro Wrestling. Height, 7 feet. Weight, 416 pounds. There's a quote from Portland State's coach. He says his knee braces look like water park shoes. WWE has not signed Cron, but it's sniffing around. Sniffing around, says this tweet. And so it begins.
Yeah.
This guy hasn't said, I'd like to be a professional wrestler one day. They found a man who is 7 feet tall and 416 pounds and certainly isn't going from Portland State to the pros. And they were like, hey, large fellow, Would you like to come and be a wrestler? That's how they're doing recruiting now. No more indie guys. We're just going to go and we're going to grab giant failed athletes.
They didn't say, would you like to come be a wrestler? They said, hey, large guy, would you like to come be large? Because we're not wrestling anymore.
would you like to be large inside a wrestling ring? And then we're going to get people through piped in chants to start going, Kron, 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 Kron. Yeah, it'll be great.
He is 7 feet tall, and you can't teach that.
No, you can't. You can't teach that. It's also hard to teach 416 pounds, though you can teach somebody to overeat, I suppose. I don't know how I feel about this, because this little thing means they're doing this a lot.
Yeah,
and like this isn't the one guy they reached out to. They're just doing this to everybody now. This is how we do things. This is how we do things.
I work with sports agents, and there's like a whole other guy in WWE that recruits for non-wrestling people. And my guess is he just got very busy. Like, his whole thing is like stars that didn't know they wanted to be wrestlers yet, or like his tagline. And I've seen him at the NFL Combine and stuff. So like, there's a guy whose whole job
he goes to the NFL Combine and sees a dude run an 8-second 40, and I'm like, yeah. Okay, you're obviously not getting drafted, but you are a very large fellow.
But you are very large, and hopefully you don't have an agent so that we don't have to deal with them. That's what you're going for.
I just love the idea. Like, I know these guys wear them as like preventative measures, but the quote is about he has knee braces. So let's get him gigantic and already busted up. Perfect. Perfect. Get a guy who's got a history of knee problems, who's 7 feet tall and 400 pounds, and who has no idea. Maybe John Kron is the guy they asked about the focus group for what to do about NXT.
There it is.
I've never watched wrestling. I don't know what NXT is. Perfect. Would you like to work for
us? Do you want to be in NXT?
What's NXT?
If I'm hiring someone for a job and I'm like, well, there's these people that have been doing this job for years, and they're trained, and they are so passionate about it, they do it for no money and they lose money.
Yep.
Or there's a guy who has never heard of this job and has no interest in it and physically is less capable of doing the job. That's the guy I want.
Yep. That's what I want. I want that.
Crazy pills.
Back on NXT, because we're an hour and 15 minutes into this thing. Cameron Grimes is backstage being interviewed about that Ted DiBiase. He taught me so much about life. And then the Grizzly Young Vets come out and they taunt him with another replica. Like, could we buy you one from a Universal?
What's the easiest choice you can make? Window instead of middle seat? Picking a vendor who sends a great gift basket? Outsourcing business tasks you hate? What about selling with Shopify? Whether you're selling a little or a lot, Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage? Shopify's there to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell. Wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify's got you covered. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/try. Go to shopify.com/try now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/try.
Springtime savings are in full bloom, all in the Kroger app. Get 12 packs of delicious Coca-Cola, Pepsi, or 7-Up for $4.99 each with a digital coupon. Then get 1-pound packages of flavorful 80% lean Angus ground beef chuck for $3.99 each, all with your card. Shop these deals at your local Kroger today, or tap the screen now to download the Kroger app to save big today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Prices and product availability subject to change. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Title from the WWE shop. And it's like, so then Grimes takes the one from them and drops it on Zach Gibson's toe. and he goes, "To the moon," which I can't support in any way, but what? Made me cackle. Like, I mean, listen, I'm all for a good pun. That was a bad pun, and it still made me laugh, though.
Dare you, sir? That was a fantastic pun.
But it doesn't make any sense. You can't tow something to the moon. I guess, suppose you could.
It doesn't make sense to drop a title on someone's foot either instead of also hitting them in the head.
Also true. It's like, it's inarguable.
You gotta tow them to the moon.
Yeah, it's true. So I guess we're gonna get Cameron Grimes versus Zach Gibson, or maybe Cameron Grimes has to find a tag partner. Who the hell is that gonna be? I don't know. So we get Ridge Holland, Tommaso Ciampa. And Tommaso Ciampa won. That's the main thing. I thought for sure they were gonna have Ridge Holland beat him. But it looks like they might be at least keeping Ciampa on the short list of guys who are gonna face Samoa Joe. Tommaso Ciampa versus Samoa Joe is a dream match.
Yeah.
Like that is we talked about this last week. Those two eras did not overlap. I know Tommaso Ciampa, before he was Tommaso Ciampa, had a match versus Samoa Joe in NXT. Samoa Joe beat the shit out of him.
Living crap out of him, yeah.
But it wasn't Tommaso Ciampa. He was just like a guy who was there basically as an extended tryout. Now, it would be amazing. So him beating Ridge Holland keeps that possibility open. Ridge got to throw him all over the place. Ciampa got to fight back strong. He hit the air raid crash, but Holland kicked out of it, and then he hit Willow's Bell. And credit to Peter Dune, who runs a tight ship. Like, he could have sent his boys in there at any time to end the match with a disqualification and beat up Tommaso Ciampa, but he said no. Ridge's got to take his lumps. He's still a young fellow. He's got to know what it's like to lose, and then he'll be extra angry next week. I think that's the only, because what's the precedent? It's always the heel sends his goons in to beat up somebody, and that's how they end matches. So the fact that didn't happen means there must be a story there, because I have to force myself to think that good things are possible in NXT.
Or they're just like, maybe we freeze anything to do with Pete Dunne. I really like this match. It was very physical. Like, you guys beat the hell out of each other. And I really want to see Samoa Joe versus Ciampa. I want Ciampa to win the title, though. So I don't know if I want this to be like the next thing that happens. But I'm also not opposed to Joe dropping the title and losing his ever-loving mind. I think that could be really fun, but I kind of want to see Samoa Joe just like chew up a bunch of people first before we get there. But maybe that's what it'll be. Maybe you'll get a bunch of squashes, and then all of a sudden he sees Ciampa and is like, whoa, this guy's the real deal. Yeah. And then drops it there. But I thought this was a great way to close the show. It was a clean finish. I like those. The British boy band was standing strong, more so than the rejected frat boys of Diamond Mind. I thought this was a nice way to end this week of programming that who knows if it's going to matter in 4 weeks from now.
Right, exactly. Of course, after Ciampa wins, then Pete sends the goon squad in there to beat him up. And then MSK gets to come down and play the heroes. And we actually got an MSK chant. So I think they're trying to figure out ways to get MSK was not getting cheered for the longest time as champions. And now they are, which is good. Maybe helping out Tommaso Ciampa helps that cause.
They're great. Like, they should.
They're great. They're great. And for whatever reason, they just that particular set of CWC people did not love them. But I'm good with all this, especially the clean finish, especially Ciampa going over. It really makes me wonder of like how much of this stuff is going to be like just retconned out of existence in 2 weeks because of the new Rainbow NXT, and how much of it is going to continue until like the next takeover cycle. Like, because you can't, I mean, we talk about like, oh, John Cron, oh no, like he's going to go over Samoa Joe in 3 weeks. No, he has no idea what the hell's, he's still an active, for all I know, an active college football player. He's not in the PC yet. He hasn't even accepted the offer. If he's smart, he'll go to AEW. But what I'm saying, I'm joking. But what I'm saying is, that all these new people, eventually they're going to be put on TV way too early. But it's way too early for them to be thinking about putting them on TV way too early. Like, I think Parker Boudreau is probably going to be on TV earlier than he should. But he's been at the PC for a few months. You got to wait a few months.
That is my worry.
I feel like 6 months from now, we're going to really start getting into the ugly, ugly part of it. But for a while, it's going to be half really ugly and half still good. And then it's going to be just us watching a loved one, like brain dead in a vegetative state and just knowing we have to pull the plug eventually. But there's still a chance for a miracle.
Well, and the thing with Ciampa too is it's safe, right? Like, yeah, he's going to make anything work. So it makes sense to have him win on one of the last, like, of this taped match, because, like, he could lose next week and it would be fine. Like, he's going to make anything work. But I'm with you. Like, what talent is going to move on to the main roster with this? And what storylines are going to die? And what talent and storylines are going to stay in NXT? I don't have any idea. And if you don't want to move to the main roster, are you allowed to leave the company? What does that look like? Does anybody know how many days you have? Like, there are so many question marks with everything that's to come. So it is like, that was hanging over my head all night of like, I can only be so invested when I know this all might be gutted.
Yes, true. Joey Bag of Donuts says, everyone should do an amnesia angle. Let's cap this check. I agree. And then the final super chat, thank you so much, guys, from Ben Morris. He sees the tap out as consistent with Walter's character. He's a badass, but first and foremost, he's a professional. He gave it his all, but was beaten. That is not how I see Walter. I see him as an absolute, he's a monolith. He's not to me, like, yes, I'm sure he's a professional, but he's like just this, he's an unassailable monster, and I don't like seeing unassailable monsters tap out. I just don't. I feel like you work so hard to build that. It's just my own personal preference. Everybody has theirs, but mine is that a tap out is when you are a champion and you tap out to relinquish it, you are giving up your title in the moment. You should be willing to have a bone break if it keeps you giving your title. Like, that's just, especially when you're the guy. Otherwise, yeah, it looks like, to me, it looks weak. In a regular match, absolutely tap out all you want. It doesn't matter. Wins and losses don't matter. But the title that you've been holding for several years, that matters. That's just my own thing. Kate Hensler, thank you so much for being on the show again. We'll be here for the duration. Keep coming back because we're going to be here just talking about how terrible all this is. But please tell everybody where you can find.
Oh, no. It's
people
true.
Can find you.
You can find me at Kate on Deck. I see there should be on the graphic a K between that. But we'll
I know, but that's not me. I didn't do that. Talk to Sean.
No, I'll blame Sean. His birthday's please. Over, please.
Yeah.
but you can follow me there on Twitter. You can follow me at the Mark Order Podcast, which is all things All Elite immediately after Dynamite on Wednesday nights on Facebook and in podcast form after that. You can find me on Fridays with Sean Rossap, the birthday boy, yes, doing the SmackDown AEW Rampage post show. This week it's going to be with Robert DeFelice, which I'm very excited about. And I'm doing the All Out post show with this guy.
Yes.
I know how mirrors work.
Yes, that's right. we are going to be up until 7 a.m.
I'm fine with it.
I have a family. I have to be up at like taking care of a child in the morning. This is going to be that. I'm sure All Out's going to be 5 hours long and the podcast will be 6 hours. Mm-hmm. It's going to be a hell of a night. Come join us for all 6 hours of our podcast.
4 hours of it. Paul and Kiki Marshall. That's going to be 4 hours.
Mostly will be about Tall Paul. Mostly. Yes. Tall Paul. Thank you everybody for being here. Please like the video if you haven't yet. please, and subscribe to Fightful Select. And also, I'm going to talk a lot about how much Naya sucks on Fightful Select. Yay! So go do that. Yeah, bye.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You know how to book flights and hotels. All you're missing is a tool to plan the travel experiences you'll have once you arrive. That's why you need Viator. Book guided tours, excursions, and more in one place. There are over 300,000 travel experiences to choose from, so you can find something for everyone. And Viator offers free cancellation and 24/7 customer support for worry-free travel. Download the Viator app now and use code Viator10 for 10% off your first booking in the app. Find travel experiences for you. Do more with Viator.